From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, as the case may be across the cosmos, known and otherwise. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, covering every single one of those time zones like a blanket. And last night, a lot of you will have missed it, but my guest, James Gilliland, was talking about UFOs. That's his subject. And, he kept talking about the intent and how he goes into his area, he's already there, and he produces UFOs virtually on demand with intent. Now, that's really, really interesting because, as you know, I have done a number of experiments in the past that involve intent and weather and people's health and all kinds of things. Well, I finally broke down in the last hour, and I said, all right, what the hell? Let's give it a try. Let's all concentrate on producing UFOs in our skies, worldwide, all across the country, all across the world. No particular location involved. Well, I can tell you this. I've received upwards of 2,000 emails, so many that my email program kind of went wacko, of people who saw things. So we're going to do a repeat performance tonight. And then we're going to look at this, the next several days. But I thought it'd be worthwhile at the beginning of the program, right here up front, to bring a James Gilliland online right now, actually. Hello, James.
Hello.
Good to have you back. Surprised to have you back, actually. But these experiments have always surprised me. We did it in, the last hour of the program? Something like that. Now, I'd like to know what your response was like.
Well, we never actually gave my email or my website out on the air, and I got just slammed with emails anyway, regardless of that. And what happened with me is, I got emails of seeing multiple ships to just amazing encounters everywhere from there's two crafts in Berkeley. Seattle, there was about three or four sightings in Seattle, Hawaii, right. Houston, Texas,
Vancouver. Yeah, I got Houston.
Yeah, Vancouver.
All over the place. I mean, I just got slammed, absolutely slammed.
Yeah, New York and Iowa, too. It just goes on and on and on.
I know. So, once again, I'm not sure what we've done. You've got to allow for the fact that we sent people out, if they were able, to look at the skies, even in 5-degree weather in some cases. But they saw UFOs by the gazillions. Now, something worked. Something happened. And I'm sure, I guess it's not a surprise to you, right?
No, it wasn't, actually.
Let's try it. We're going to try it again tonight in the next couple of breaks, bottom of the hour, top of the hour. And this time, let's give out your email, all right? Okay. What is your email, James?
Well, it's actually ufojames@gorge.net. It's GORGE.net. Or they can go to the website, which is eseti.org. It's www.eseti.org.
Okay, let me get this straight. ufojames@gorge, GORGE.net, right?
Yes,
All right, good. Well, I'm going to depend this time on you to sort of categorize where the reports come from and virtually how many we get. So I'm going to be repeating your email address, but I must say I was amazed. Now, there are two possibilities. One, they're always there, or they're there a lot, and people just see them when they go outside and look. The other is that we really did cause something to occur. And I have no way, it's a mighty big coincidence if that occurred. And that's why I'm wanting to try it again tonight. And since we did it in the last hour of the program, I thought perhaps the first hour, where we have gobs of people, might produce even larger results. And they may not come right away. They may come right away, or they may come in the next few days. But we're going to watch carefully. So I want to thank you, A, for a wonderful show, and B, sort of subconsciously talking me into doing it.
Well, I want to thank you, Art, for having the courage to do it. It's amazing. This is kind of a dream come true for me, and it's actually manifesting, you know, right here and now.
James, I guess what it does, number one, is underscores your theory of intent. Mm-hmm. And number two, and that's, I guess, why I caved in and did it, is because it also underscores my continuing now experiments with consciousness. So mm-hmm. I will bid you a good evening. Prepare your email.
Okay.
All right.
You know, Art?
Yes.
There's one thing I wanted to mention. You've had a lot of people talk about the field. And, mm-hmm. you know, they within the field, there's all these planes and dimensions existing right alongside of ours. And, you know, they're just sitting there in that field waiting to drop in, waiting for us to open to that reality and put the intent out for them to step in. So the skies are full of ships right now, and all we have to do is initiate and kind of open the doorway for that to happen, and that's what we did on the show.
Get ready, brother.
Okay, and I've got a lot of elders, like Lakota elders and people of that nature that I've been working with, and this has all been prophesized. They know this is coming down. Wallace, you know, Black Elk and a lot of other ones have all given prophecies about these times and that this is going to be happening for these times.
All right. Prepare yourself, and we'll see what happens. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Good night, James.
Good night.
James Gilliland, and we've got a couple of experiments coming up in a few moments. Stay right where you are. Well, all right, skimming through the world news, militants struck back Sunday in their first major blow against U.S.-led security clampdown in Baghdad with car bombings. Listen to this. It killed at least 63 people, left scores injured, sent a grim message indeed to officials boasting that extremist factions were on the run. Not exactly. 64 die on India train, militants blamed. A fire that raked through a train traveling from India to Pakistan early Monday morning killed at least 64 people, and India's top railway officials say it was an attack by militants trying to harm India-Pakistan relations, or should I say worsen them. Hoping to turn the page on 6 years of stalled Mideast negotiations, the U.S. instead found itself boxed in Sunday by a characteristically complex political impasse involving the Israelis and Palestinian. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice came to the region intending to lead a symbolic peace summit. Her plans, however, have been eclipsed amid uncertainty and disagreement over how to handle last week's sudden announcement of a power sharing deal to end internal Palestinian fighting. Democrats seek to impose limits on the Iraq war. Senate Democrats pledged renewed efforts Sunday to curtail the Iraq war, suggesting they'll seek to limit a 2002 measure authorizing President Bush's use of force against Saddam Hussein. The top Republican on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee said the proposal had little chance of succeeding. All right, looking at some other news, the following is from the BBC, of course, and it's about dead zones. The delicate interplay between the oceans and the atmosphere is changing with catastrophic consequences. Entire marine ecosystems have been wiped out, devastating populations of seabirds and larger marine mammals. These dead zones occur where there are disturbances to the nutrient-rich ocean currents, which are driven by coastal winds. Extreme marine suffocations have occurred off the west coast of the U.S. every year for the last 5 years. The most intense event, which left the ocean floor littered with the carcasses of crabs, occurred in 2006. It was unlike anything we've ever measured along the Oregon coast in the past 5 years, according to Dr. Francis Chan of the Oregon State University. Other coastal countries, including Chile, Namibia, and South Africa, also affected. The common factor between all the areas is the marine currents off the coast that rise from the deep ocean. These upswelling zones, being nutrient-rich water up from the deep, triggering plankton blooms that underpin the coastal food chain. Nearly 50% of the world's fisheries are in these areas. The currents are driven by winds that move surface water away from the coast, drawing more up from the deep. But now, observations along the west coast of the U.S. suggest the upswelling is being disrupted, changing its timing and intensity, for example. In 2005, the upswelling was delayed. Now, that means the plankton blooms did not occur, leading to a collapse in fish population. This particularly hit migrating salmon, which pass along the coast in April and May of every year. In 2005, they found nothing to eat, said Dr. Bill Peterson of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. By the time upswelling did begin, they were all dead. An even more catastrophic event, this is hard to read, occurred in 2008 when the amount of upswelling doubled, leading to a huge influx of nutrients and a supercharged plankton bloom. Sounds good, right? Wrong. When these sank to the ocean floor, they stripped the water column of all oxygen, creating a 3,000 square kilometer dead zone where creatures unable to swim away suffocated en masse. Dr. Francis Chan used underwater cameras to survey the area 2 months after the event. We were shocked to see a graveyard, he said. Frame after frame of carcass. Crabs, worms, sea stars all perished in the water. The event was so severe that the researchers fear marine life will not ever return to the area. Quote, in previous years, fish that have escaped the low oxygen area appear to have returned once the oxygen was renewed. This year may be different, however, because unlike earlier years, the living habitat also was suffocated. The researchers believe the cause of these events was changes in the intensity of the coastal winds, perhaps brought about by global warming. What we know about the climate change models is that the land will warm more than the sea. It is this difference in temperature and pressure that drives the winds. As you intensify that gradient, that will drive the stronger winds. To confirm this link to climate change, the researchers say they need another 10 to 15 years of data. In the meantime, they say, we must change our approach to managing and using these ecosystems, particularly for fish stocks. The most prudent course of action is to begin to think differently about what's happening. Climate models predict uncertainty. With wild fluctuations, we should expect more surprises. All right, in a moment, we're going to go to open lines, unscreened open lines. Let me give you the appropriate numbers. If you're west of the Rockies, out here in the west, 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, big chunk of land, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers, area code 818-501-4721. Wildcard line, folks, area code 818-501-4109. And finally, if you're outside the country, yes, we can help you. Get hold of the operator and have her call 800-893-0903. For decades, space experts have worried that a speeding bit of orbital debris might one day smash a large spacecraft into hundreds of pieces and begin a chain reaction, a kind of slow cascade of collisions that would expand then for centuries, spreading chaos through the heavens. Do you see what they're talking about? A little piece of something could hit a big enough spacecraft That would break into hundreds of pieces and begin hitting other spacecraft, a kind of domino reaction in space. The last decade or so, as scientists came to agree that the number of objects in orbit had surpassed a critical mass, or in their terms, the critical spatial density, the point at which a chain reaction becomes inevitable, they grew more anxious. Early this year, after a half century of growth, the federal list of detectable objects 4 inches wide or larger reached 10,000, including dead satellites, spent rocket engines, a camera, a hand tool, junkyards of whirling debris left over from chance explosions and destructive tests. Now, say experts, China's test on January 11th of an anti-satellite rocket that shattered an old satellite into hundreds of large pieces means the chain reaction will most likely start sooner if their predictions are correct. The cascade could put billions of dollars worth of advanced satellites at risk and eventually threaten to limit humanity's reach for the stars altogether. Now, I had never, ever given that a thought. I, and I'm sure many of you, always, well, sort of considered the possibility of something getting hit by a stray, this or that. But I really never considered the possibility of a kind of a chain reaction, and there certainly could be. One little object hitting a big spacecraft would cause hundreds of objects to suddenly be there and spread out, hitting other big spacecraft. And you get the idea. Well, the experiment last night looks as though it was a success. It was amazing. I had thousands of emails. Now, I also had many like this, since it was the last night, of course, of the last hour of the program. Shirley wrote, Art, I'm sorry to say I missed last night's show. Please, please, please do the same intent experiment again tonight, maybe in the first hour. I really hope the response is incredible and unmistakable. Looking forward to hearing about it tonight. Okay, Shirley. I'm going to kind of roll over the way we did it in the last hour or so last night. James Gilliland and many others, including myself, believe that consciousness is a very, very strong power. We believe that intent, and certainly the intent of millions of minds thinking of the same thing at the same time, has an effect. James thinks they are there. They are but awaiting an invitation. So we are going to provide an invitation. What we're going to do is sort of, during this coming break, it's coming pretty quickly here, we're going to settle our minds. We're going to quiet our minds. Just kind of let your mind go to a nice, quiet place. And in fact, what really works is to find one of the most joyous moments you ever had in your life. It could be the birth of your child. It could be a marriage. It could be, in my case, I actually reached out and considered that brief little out-of-body experience I once had in Paris and the incredible joy that I felt. And while I did not re-experience the joy, I kind of brushed up against it a little bit, and I felt a little bit of that joy. Now, it'll be different for all of you, but the point of the exercise is to quiet your mind and then think of something very joyful so you're in a very good mood. And then what I would like you to do is to either turn down, or better yet, just turn off your radio as the break comes on, and sit there, and as hard as you can manage to do, after you've quieted your mind, found this little joyful place, whatever it is, project intent. And the intent I want you to project is that of whoever they are, hopefully our friends, they will show themselves in our skies. Now, if you wish to go outside and it's not 100 degrees below zero out there, and you've got a nice little porch you can go stand on, or in your yard, stand in your, whatever, just go outside and kind of look at the skies. And it would appear as though millions of us working together are actually able to produce results. So would you be willing to do that for me? For all of us? If we all concentrate together, if we really project the intent for these beings, whoever they are, to show themselves with their craft in our skies, then I would suggest to you it definitely is worth a walk outside and a scan of your skies. It's probably been years now since I've done one of these experiments. So it was just irresistible. Intent, millions of you, and I finally broke down. Well, tonight, part two, beginning right now. Turn your radio down or off, and let's go to it right now. We'll be right back. Well, I know not what we have done, whether we've done anything at all. I know yesterday we certainly produced result. Thousands of emails, thousands of sightings. We'll see what happens tonight. We'll see what happens over the next several days. I don't know how this works. I don't know very much about it at all. And we've discussed that many times in the past. But I did break down and we gave it a try. Listen, coming up in just a moment, all of you, unscreened, open lines, directly ahead. Top of the hour, Ralph Sawyer, and we're going to talk about China, past and present. Right now, though, it's all of you. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art.
Yes.
In the tape that was released by Al-Qaeda number 2 a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
he asked all the Mujahideen in the world to pledge their allegiance to Mullah Omar without ever mentioning bin Laden.
Well,
I'm wondering, is bin Laden dead?
It's a good question, isn't it? He could be, and they would never tell us. If I were them, I would, if he had died or been killed by one of our bombs, I would bury him quietly somewhere in the desert, and forevermore, nothing would be known. We would always imagine and fear he was still alive. Wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, I was actually thinking that if he did die, that would be when they would set it off.
Set
the American
it off.
Hiroshima or some other plan that they have in the operational stage.
Oh, maybe. I don't know that his death would bring that on. I don't even know if they really have a weapon. So we can speculate about that. But in terms of what to do if he died or was killed by one of our bombs, yeah, bury him and don't say a word. And I suppose years would go by before serious speculation began. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello? Going once, going twice. I hear the radio in the background. Going three times, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Bob from Klondike.
Hey.
You know, the guest you had last night, we're doing the same thing up here in the Kettle Marine. That's about a resort about 50 miles north of Milwaukee. We have a convention out there every year for the last 16th year. It's the second Saturday in July. They come in every year. We got videos and everything.
Videos of objects?
Pardon?
Videos of craft?
Videos of UFOs.
That's what I meant.
Pardon?
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, we have them. And they were played over at Milwaukee radio TV station last night, or a couple nights ago. And they come in six at a time sometimes. They do aerobatic feats and everything.
Yeah, it really does appear as though this whole thing works. This whole intent thing really does work. I don't know how, but it works. And I wouldn't be surprised if tonight, well, we've already had it. Yesterday, we just had a landslide after we tried it. But tonight and over the next several days, I would expect major sightings. I would hope for them. And I would hope also that they would be peaceful. Actually, it's a wild card line. You're on the air. Hello? Going once, Going twice, gone. Wild card line 4, you're on the air. Would have been. Wild card line 3, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. This is Otnell.
Turn your radio off.
Okay, the radio's off.
Okay, that's mandatory. First thing you do when you get on the air is turn it off.
Yeah, okay. Well, I did a visit by some UFOs, and kind of wondering which way to go with them, you know?
Meaning what?
Yeah, they got kind of, attitude towards me now.
They have an attitude toward you?
Yeah. Yeah. They came here looking to perform a marriage. And
between you and one of them?
Yeah. And so I didn't go through with it and everything.
How close did you get?
Oh, they actually took me up to some spaceship with them.
And courted you.
Yeah, well, he doesn't know he was displeased with me. She's there, and you know, it was two of them in some kind of spaceship, and everything. But they have had many contacts with me. You know, they lots of contacts.
And you were completely sober through this entire experience.
Yeah, completely sober and everything, and you know.
Well,
they,
maybe you should have gone through with it. Maybe you should have married her. Now, maybe it's a stretch to call it a her, and maybe that's why you decided not to consummate. I have no idea. Wild card line, let's see. Wild card line 1, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I can't believe I got through. That's crazy. Hey, I was going to ask you about this Cassini project that's going on around Saturn right now. I believe it's Saturn. And the planet, or the moon Enceladus. Are you familiar with that?
Not at all.
Enceladus, or Enceladus, I think that's how it's pronounced anyway, is leaving a jet stream of oxygen through space.
Oxygen?
Oxygen. And they believe it's just a solid chunk of ice with maybe water in the middle.
Well, ice is water, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Something to watch out for.
So I guess there would be oxygen trapped in it. I guess that's what they're seeing.
Absolutely. Or, you know, something we might be able to use that as a jump spot.
Well, we might. That's very interesting. As you know, we have to find water on the moon or Mars or somewhere close by, or we're not going anywhere.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll certainly look into it. It is very interesting, and it is imperative that we find water somewhere. Water equals ultimately fuel and the ability to go onward or go anywhere at all. Good morning. On the first time caller line, you are on the air.
Hey, Art. This is Mike on my way to Memphis. Hey, I was just wondering if you could recap a show for me real quick and tell me if there's been any updates on the, I can't remember the guy's whole name, but it was Vincent, somebody in the Clinton administration that was killed.
Oh, my gosh. You really are going back. Yes. Well, that was a great controversy that remains one. Hello?
Yeah. You go ahead, Art.
That remains a controversy. I have nothing new to tell you about it.
Well, I just wonder if you could recap it. It was a show that really caught my interest and got me hooked on your show about 6 or 7 years ago, and I just kind of forgot the details of it.
Well, it was there was a question about whether it was a suicide or a murder. And that's about all I can recall right now. But there was no ultimate resolution to it. It remains controversial. So that's about as much of a recap as you're going to get from me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? This is David in Arizona.
Hello, David.
I've got a couple of questions, two quick ones.
Sure.
That tape that you played of that guy flying into Area 51.
Yes.
You played it, I know, many times. This guy was on a cell phone. That's correct, right?
That is correct, yes.
And you probably heard him more times than us. When he went down or whatever happened to him, did you hear anything like, you know, somebody shooting at him or him going down or a crash or a bang? Or
no, but you probably like you wouldn't. In other words, he was screeching about a rail gun toward the end, you may recall. And some rail gun that was pointed at him and firing and all the rest of it. Well, if something connected with him, and he also talked about an F-16, but if something actually connected with him, as in he hit the aircraft, that would be the last you would hear. You wouldn't hear, you know, kind of like on TV or in the movies where you get to hear the explosion and the aftermath and people running and all the rest of it. You don't get to hear that in real life. You just get dead air, and that's what we got. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, this is Earl from Arkansas.
Hello, Earl.
How you doing? I had a story about shadow people.
Another shadow person story, huh?
Yeah. Well, I heard the show a few nights back, and I wanted to call him, but I didn't get through.
Okay.
But, yeah, my cousin, he had an interesting story with it. We were talking about it because I had seen something in the past, and he was telling me that whenever he was he was actually messed up on drugs for a little bit, and whenever he got off of it, he was on it real bad, and he saw shadow people, and so what happened was he noticed that they started noticing him, and they were coming after him, or they noticed that he was noticing them.
And how do you know all this was not an artifact of the drugs he was taking? What was he doing?
Well, he was using methamphetamines.
Methamphetamines. Well,
yeah.
You know, I'm not going to continue with that story because that when you say something like that, listen, not first person. In other words, it wasn't you. It was your cousin. And then you prefaced it by saying he was on meth. So no matter how intriguing and dramatic the story might get from there, it automatically, in the minds of most, gets discredited. International Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, this is Jeff from Edmonton.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Last night, I was actually in Nashville, Tennessee. I sent you an email. I'm not sure if you got it. But they actually had some semi-news coverage of the object that was flying over the skies.
Oh?
Yeah. The meteorologist for the local ABC affiliate in Nashville, her name was Lisa Patton, dismissed it. Pretty quickly.
Yeah, but she mentioned it, huh?
She mentioned it, and she got it. I think she got it on the SkyCam.
Really?
I think called a SkyCam on the on one of the state buildings.
Right.
Nashville's the capital of Tennessee.
Right.
So, it was on one of the state buildings, and they have a camera. I think they pulled over the camera on it. They've gotten a lot of, and she said that they had a lot of calls on it. And she dismissed it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
As a space station, but yeah. The last time I checked, the space station one doesn't spin as quickly as that did.
Okay, so whatever this was spinning.
It was spinning, like it was rotating at a looked like it really like a good angle, like
all right.
Pretty
well,
steep.
Number one, if you see the space station, it's kind of like a star moving
right.
In a predictable course across the sky.
And this exactly, and this thing was hovering more than it was like hovering and rotating. And I blinked. I had a flashlight. I had a very kind of high powered Magnum flashlight. We were here for a convention, and I took it, and I hit the light three times up in the sky, and it blinked back three times.
All right, I appreciate the call. There you go. That's the kind of thing that I got thousands of emails about. Now, coincidence? I think not. Our intent produced something, and I would look for it tonight as well. You might want to take a very careful look at your skies tonight with the amount of intent flashing out there. And we're going to try it one more time here at the top of the hour. All we're trying to do is send a blast outward, asking whoever it is to go ahead and show themselves. Nothing more dramatic than that. Just a showing. And if it's like last night, then I have got to begin to declare this a success. This is amazing. What intent and what mass minds can do together is absolutely amazing. I'm still very hesitant to explore other areas, but damn it, every time I've tried it, every time I've tried this with all of you, it has worked. Simple as that. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art. It's good to talk to you again. This is Casey from Cleveland.
Yes, hey, Casey.
I just wanted to ask you, what are we going to do about climate change? And why don't we get some action going? I don't understand why there's not more people calling in with some concrete steps or something to make something happen.
Well, Stacey. What ideas do you have?
Well, you know, it seems to me every time that we have some sort of storm come through, it knocks down the power lines. And, you know, then they have to go back through and restore everybody's power one by one or area by area.
Right.
You know, it looks like the people in Congress would realize that we've got to get together and we got to do some sort of effort to move the devices that are out there, you know, hunt and peck here and there, and get them moved forward with some sort of way to put distributed power in people's homes, where that they're generating their basic power needs right there at their own home, so that when the storms come through, that we don't have to worry about the power lines failing. And if they do fail, then people will still have power for heat and for, you know, the basic needs.
Well, I'm a big fan of that, buddy. But listen, it takes a lot to get that done. I've done it here, but at rather great expense, and I wouldn't expect the average person is yet able to do it. It means putting up solar panels, wind generators. It really means having batteries if you want power on demand, because, of course, the sun goes down at night and you can't always depend on the wind. So you have got to store whatever you produce. By whatever method you produce it, you've got to have some sort of storage. All of that costs money. The average person just can't do it yet. But that would be an obvious answer, and I think we're all kind of hanging in there for something to break. Perhaps hydrogen from water. Who knows? But something. I'm with you on that. First time caller line. Good morning.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well.
Not bad. Who am I speaking to?
Who were you calling?
Basically, I got a little story that I need to get on the air. If that's
okay. Basically, turn your radio off.
Yeah, I got the radio on.
Off.
Oh, yeah, it's off now.
Good. All right. You have a little story, and we have a little time, so go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling actually from Wisconsin, Port Washington. Been living there for about 22 years, approximately. I'm a single man. I lost my wife about 3 years ago. Now, the thing is past couple weeks, I work first shift, so I'm home about 3:30. I decide to hop in bed around, you know, 9:45. And every once in a while, it's pretty weird, because I've been hearing almost as if she's been, like, coming around. Because I hear her voices. You know what I'm saying? And
yes, I do.
It's pretty wild, because every once in a while, just recently, 2 nights ago, I'm laying in bed, I'm watching TV and everything, and it's like I feel her presence, and it's been scaring the shit out of me. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, he was doing pretty well up until he said a word that we can't air. I understand, sir, exactly what you're going through. And when somebody has a personal loss of their mate or somebody very close to them, it's not at all strange that, you would feel their presence, perhaps hear their voice. Otherwise, know they're still with you. And it is my considered and firm opinion that she is still with you. So I hope that's of some comfort to you, and I hope it doesn't scare you. I think it's quite natural. I'm Art Bell.